Hello. Welcome to the Context Machine. This is episode 638. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out on our online home, contextmachine.io.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine, eventually Threads. I'm going to take care of that today. Mm-hmm. Later today.
Okay. That sounds exciting.
And let's see here. We actually have we should get to it because we actually have a lot to talk about.
Right. Which is kind of funny because we started with, wow, there's really not, you know, maybe we can talk about, and then all of a sudden it was like, and the floodgates open.
Yeah. And like press releases are hitting even now. Kind of funny.
Right.
All right. So the first thing we're going to talk about is a story that hit earlier this week. And who was it that said that?
Wait, which one are we talking about?
We're talking about the generative AI thing.
Oh, right. Who did say that? Hold on. I've got that here.
It's a good thing we've got top men on this. Morgan Stanley. Right. Morgan Stanley says that Apple is working.
Eric Woodring.
Analyst Eric Woodring, right? According to Seeking Alpha, analyst Eric Woodring said 2024 will likely be a catalyst year for edge AI. AI work done on smartphones and PCs, not entirely on data centers. And he's basically saying that Apple's going to be sort of driving this or a lead beneficiary in part because of the power of the A17 Pro chip. And here's another quote. We believe Apple will emerge as one of the key winners or edge AI enablers in this race, given the unique data from Apple's 2 billion plus devices and 1.2 billion plus users, Apple's focus on data privacy, and Apple's leading hardware, software, silicon, and services vertical integration. So, yeah, I find this interesting. It seems like a logical deduction. I don't know if this is a deduction on his part or something based on some kind of, you know, inside track that he has.
Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's really interesting, and I do like the idea of Apple being in a strong position with AI.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've recently talked about everything that Apple's doing to be able to make machine learning decisions on device. Because that is in keeping with the company's belief that its customers should not be its product.
Right.
And the fact that iPhones mm-hmm. and Macs and iPads can handle a lot of the machine learning that we call AI on device is impressive and it's amazing. But I guess when it comes to generative AI, like Apple hasn't asked me if it's okay if they use my stuff to train an MML model.
LLM.
LLM model.
You had all the right letters in the wrong quantities and wrong orders, but well done.
Other than that, I was fine. An LLM model, which is in itself, of course, redundant. This large language mm-hmm. model. But anyway, I would like for Apple to do some generative AI stuff if the company's going to do it in such a way that it's not ripping people off. And by people, I mean creatives. Because that's the thing I hate about the generative AI space is that all of these models were trained on the writings and photographs and drawings and art and music of other people that were neither asked permission or paid for having their stuff used this way.
Yes. Okay. Here's the thing. Apple can do LLM. They can do generative AI without having it be a content creation platform in the way that we're seeing right now with like ChatGPT and DALL-E and technologies like that.
Yeah, all the various platforms.
Yes. So they can use this as a way to make the S lady, in essence, more like the computer from the Starship Enterprise, where you have natural language conversation with it, and it responds in a natural language way, and so you're building whatever it is, your query or your command will be using normal words. It can parse that and then respond in a way much like a human would, so like the computer on the Enterprise.
So to that point, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, in the before times, when Apple, I think it was one of the who's Daring Fireball, what's his name?
John Gruber,
thank you. His event that took place during the WWDC, where he's
the talk show.
Thank you.
I love how you're just tossing this stuff out to quiz me and see if I know what these things are.
Right. Let's go with that. And where Apple talked about the fact that that was their goal was to have Siri understand us as opposed to having to train us to use Siri. And we've known that this is something that Apple's going to do, but I don't know that I would call that generative AI. I also don't know that Alex Woodring knows what he's talking about, because he also suggests that that Apple could turn Siri into a $5, call it Siri Plus. He didn't call it that, but I'm calling it Siri Plus for $5 a month as a subscription service, where Siri was sort of supercharged. I don't think Apple would do that either.
I'm with you on that. I mean, I can see where a company, not Apple, would have their basic voice command thing that works much like the S lady, the A lady, and the G lady are working today. But then you pay a subscription, and then you get the full range of features where it's the natural language communication thing. But I don't see that happening from Apple.
Right. Instead, I believe that it would continue to be something positioned to help Apple sell more hardware.
I agree. Yes.
So I like this guy's... There are several things that I like about what this guy is saying. First of all, he is really honing in on the fact that Apple has this significant hardware edge that for AI. And I like the fact that he's talking about that, because he sounds like a Mac guy or an Apple guy when he's writing about that. I don't think he's right about it being a generative AI service that Apple would be developing out of this.
It wouldn't be generative AI in the sense of what we are seeing today, but it could still be generative AI, because it's built learning and building based on its interactions with you. But it's not going to be generative AI in the sense of saying, hey, S lady, write me a 1,000-word essay on the Great Potato Famine.
Right. I don't think so either on that. But it's interesting right now, to have someone talking about this.
It is. Yes. And what we're seeing right now in the generative AI space really is the I guess it's okay to say the theft and repurposing of other people's content to create content for you. And that's not how Apple will use this.
Right. I agree with that. By the way, I'm seeing a lot of talk about AI, the LLM space on threads in terms of what?
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
In terms of so a lot of creators are saying no to using generative AI, which I agree with, and including using generative AI on things like covers. That was originally something that I was going to be okay with doing because I can't do a cover myself. But I have since come out very, very
covers,
much
you mean
that.
Like book covers?
Book covers, yes.
Okay.
I've come out very much against that because it's the stuff is based on stolen IP.
The place where I think we should look for a model of how Apple might use this is more in line with what we're seeing at the enterprise level, where you have these big companies that are using an internal LLM generative system trained on their own data. And you're seeing this in places like in the biopharma industry, where you have these companies that are taking lots of data that they are generating and have generated over the years from chemical studies and from lab tests and all the stuff that goes along with creating compounds, testing, and creating drugs that ultimately get used by people. They're taking all of the data that they have and they're feeding that into their own internal system. And then that assists them with the testing and research. So they might be working on a new compound and they're putting elements together like in a computer table to figure out what pieces might work together to get the desired result. And then their AI can take all of the data that they already have and look for the relationships, the tests that have already been done that they might not realize or remember have been done, and really speed up that process so they can get on to clinical trials sooner.
Okay, yeah, that's legit.
That's legit, and that's happening today. So Apple can leverage the same sort of thing, but not so that we're doing biopharma research on our iPhones, but so that our iPhone can become that knowledge navigator that we saw back in the 1980s when Apple made that video.
Yeah, I think it was more like 99-1. But whatever.
Oh, yeah. Back in the last century. Does that make you feel any younger?
Yes. Much better. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate you.
Good, good.
Yeah. I would also add that Adobe's generative AI tools that are included within Photoshop were trained on licensed images. At least that's my understanding.
That's my understanding, too.
And that is totally legit. My problem is the stuff that is done by slurping up information from all of the places. You know, like feeding, yes, feeding George R. R. Martin's books into the large language model, or Tolkien's works, or anyone's works, so that you can say, write me a story about this in the style of George Martin. That's not right. And it's not right to do it with images either.
I agree. Now, the other side of it would be, let's say George R.R. Martin fed all of the stuff he has written over the years into his own private LLM and then says, here's the outline for the story I want to create. And then it generates a story from that in his style, which he can then go and work through and figure out what needs to be rewritten, cut out, edited, other stuff needs to be added.
Okay, as long
while
as
his I don't books think are, I would enjoy that book.
As long
I'm
as,
sorry, what?
As long as his books are, I don't think that would qualify as enough data.
Well, to just roll with me here.
Okay.
It's a way someone could use their own content to help speed up their own creative process. I don't know. Well, depending on the author and how much content they have, who knows if that'll really give them a good product that they can then refine. But that would be a legit way of using a tool like this without stealing from someone else.
That's fair. That's fair. But for any Tom, Dick, or Harry to be able to come and do that is just drives me nuts. I mean, there are already crap books that are quote unquote written by AI that are, you know, slapped up on Amazon. Amazon in particular.
Yes.
And I it just drives me nuts.
I'm with you. That's not how we should be using this technology.
No, but there are always people who want the shortcut and want to cheat their way into making some money.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. So it'll be interesting to see what app. I mean, I think the kernel of this guy's statement, his research paper that he put out at Alex Woodring, is that Apple is going to continue to advance its AI stuff, and it's using the power of its own hardware to do it.
Yes. And what I'm hoping is that that works out well, proves to be successful, and sets a standard that other companies feel compelled or pressured, I don't care, to emulate and by extension, improve our privacy and reduce the amount of our content that's being stolen.
I don't think that's going to happen, man. I don't think that there is a single other company that is looking at Apple and saying we should do things like Apple does. I think it's more like, holy crap, we can't do that, so we're going to have to do this crappy thing instead.
I that's fear you're right. Yeah, I would like to think that that because we're going into new territory, maybe there's still time to get these other companies to move into the space.
This is feeling like a Lucy in the ball thing.
I know.
This time, Lucy's about
to pull that ball out. Yeah.
This time, I know that it'll work. I mean, you know, like Tim Cook has said that Apple's environmental track record, and in particular, I've always thought about it in particular as the energy producing investments that they've made. He's saying that like we wish people would copy us on this, but no one does.
That's fair. No one does. Yeah.
So on
which is unfortunate.
Similar to we had Sam Altman was fired. Is that right? From OpenAI?
Yes. So as we record, this is like fresh news. Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, the company that does ChatGPT, company made an announcement today that he is out. And they didn't even do the corporate speak of he's leaving to spend more time with his family.
Yeah.
They fired him.
Right. because they said he wasn't being truthful. What I want to know is what he wasn't being truthful about. He wasn't being truthful to the board. So this was I read through the press release, and what I read was a CYA press release that they're firing him because they said that they said that he lied to them without saying that he lied. He said he wasn't being truthful.
Yeah.
But I want to know about what. Yeah,
I want to know about what as well. My guess is that he was misleading the board about progress with the ChatGPT products and potentially lying about the capabilities.
I wonder if he was also lying about the data that they're putting in. Like, if might have been saying that, no, we can do this. We can totally rip off all these people and no one can do a thing about it. I don't really think that's it though.
No, because the company has been very open about that's just what they're doing. I have a feeling that we're going to see some new announcements. I don't want to say backpedaling, but kind of backpedaling on some of the projections for the company once the dust starts to settle. And I don't know if that will happen while Mira Murati, who is going to be the interim CEO, she's the CTO, was the CTO until today. I don't know if it'll be Miri that starts making announcements about what we need to rephrase how we have positioned some of the things we've been telling people, or if that will happen after a permanent CEO has been selected. But I have a feeling that's coming. And this was the setup for it.
Yeah, that seems legitimate. That seems reasonable. It is an interesting development because, as you were saying to me before we started recording, he's been the big cheerleader for this model of stealing crap
Yes, and he has been a driving force in the growth, the explosive growth over the past year of LLM, generative AI systems in general. When AI became the thing to talk about on like every news show, every podcast, every article. It was after OpenAI really took off last year. And he was a very instrumental part of making all of that happen.
Right.
Even last week, he was speaking at events. So that tells me that...
I want to know what the tea
really is fast.
I want the tea.
Right?
I absolutely want the tea. Mainly because I'm nosy and curious. Nosy. Because I'm nosy.
This is like soap opera stuff for people in the tech world.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, speaking of soap opera stuff.
Yes, Brian.
Well, we have Elon Musk having gone full anti-Semite, and IBM and Apple, and some other companies,
Lionsgate, Disney.
But did all those companies suspend or stop? Because I know that IBM suspended advertising.
The wording that I'm seeing thrown around is suspend. Now, I don't know. I haven't had time to look and see if it's the companies actually making public statements saying we are suspending, or if it's media saying it's been their spending is suspended as opposed to completely ended because they don't know for sure. I don't know.
Well, okay.
Oh, also, the European Commission said no more advertising on X for the so the European Commission will not be doing anything on the X platform anymore.
Which is at this point is completely it's completely reasonable. I mean, the man has lost his mind.
If he ever had it to begin with.
I think he probably had it. Anyway, we can debate that another time. But it's I'm very glad to say I was disappointed in Apple sticking with the text advertising for as long as it did.
Oop, update. Warner Brothers Discovery, they're on the list of companies that that are pulling advertising.
Yay. I'm
yay.
Very glad.
Like you, I would have liked to have seen these companies, including Apple, suspend their advertising much earlier. I'm happy for what I'll consider a win that they're doing it now. But yeah, it would have been nice to see it happen earlier. But hey, it's happening, so there's that.
Yeah, that's true. But much better late than never, for sure.
Oh, Paramount Global, Comcast, NBCU.
Excellent.
They just keep rolling in.
Excellent. I feel like this is an important thing, and the current state of affairs is not good.
I agree. Companies that are advertising on X are essentially endorsing what X does and what it says, and since it's used as a platform by Elon Musk, by extension, they are endorsing what he's saying.
Yeah, I think and, what upset or what caused IBM to pull the trigger was a report showing that their ads were showing up next to full-on Nazi posts. And that was what caused the specific problem with them.
Yes, but they didn't coincidence or not, they pulled the ads after Elon's endorsement of anti-Semitic post.
Yeah, he said today he called Media Matters an evil organization. Media Matters.
Yeah. Hey, do you want to hear a oh wait, never mind. I thought I had a direct quote from Discovery. But I don't. I thought I did.
That seems curious.
No, it's not curious. It's just me not doing enough searching fast enough while we're talking.
Right, because that's how we roll on this show.
That's right. See, this news is so breaking that I'm just refreshing the MediaMatters.org. website that's listing all this stuff and seeing new stuff pop up.
Imagine thinking that a organization that is calling you out is evil, presenting that as evil. But I guess if you don't feel like what you're doing is wrong. I don't know.
It's while I can't wrap my head around justifying it, I understand why people and organizations in that position would consider these other organizations or individuals evil, and it's because they are actively presenting themselves as contrary to the beliefs and statements of these people. So in Elon's case, if someone says what he said was wrong, what he did was wrong, attaches a label to him that he doesn't like, then they are automatically evil.
Right. Right. It's a sad state of affairs, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that company and with Tesla. I feel like the board.
Yeah. Could did end you up, hear that the dock workers in Sweden are refusing to offload Teslas?
Yes. And it's not just dock workers. Basically, many, many union jobs in Sweden are not working on Teslas at this point because of Tesla's anti-union stance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah. That is just one country.
So much drama.
So much drama. On to lighter things. How long is this? Let's go on to lighter things.
Sure.
Let's go on to a murder being committed over decades.
Now, Brian, the same murder being committed over several decades.
All right, fair enough. So we're talking about bodies. We're going to be talking about this. This is going to be plenty of spoilers. So please tune us out if you have not watched Bodies, or even if you're not interested in it, or if you think we're idiots.
Well, okay. Tune this part out if you haven't watched Bodies and you don't want spoilers. There we go.
Okay, fair enough.
If you think we're idiots, listen, and we will give you fodder.
That's true. I really enjoyed the show.
I really enjoyed it too. So for those of you that are debating if you want to listen to us talk about this because you haven't watched it yet, Bodies is an 8-episode series on Netflix where you have a murder that 4 different detectives are investigating right after the murder happens. But they're in different time periods. So you have someone around 1890, another person around 1941-ish, and then 2023, and then 2050, I think.
2053, I think.
Okay, 2053. So each of these detectives are investigating the same murder in London.
Yeah.
And it happened in that time frame for them. Yeah. So it's not like it's an ongoing investigation over multiple decades. It's a fresh investigation for each of them.
So this is a time travel show, and it's full of twists and it's full of turns, and it is full of they do a great job of you know, sort of onion layering the reveals. That's an official term, onion layering.
I like that. Onion layering.
Peeling back like onion layers. There we go.
I don't know. I kind of like onion layering.
Okay. Well, let's go with it.
Brian, are you aware this is based on an 8-issue, coincidentally, 8, comic book series that's from, I want to say, like 2010?
No, 2013, well, I did know because you told me about it when I was breathlessly texting you how good the show was, and you're like, yeah, I know, dude.
Yeah.
But so I didn't know that.
It was written by Cy Spencer.
I didn't know otherwise. So the first question is this an 8-and-done issue comic book? Did he do like a follow-up?
No, it was 8 issues and done. So that encapsulated the entire story.
Okay. I respect that. It's interesting that the show ended in a way that very much was a setup for season two.
That is very interesting, because the people that put together the series, they basically followed one issue for each episode.
Okay.
And the intent was to create an 8-episode miniseries on Netflix, a one and done.
Yeah, sort Netflix of thing, calls it a limited. What do they call it? They have a very specific term. Limited series. Limited series on Netflix.
Okay. Yes, and okay, yeah, and so the people that put together the series, their intention was it's the 8 episodes, and then that's the end of it. But they decided to set up a cliffhanger at the end of the last episode, for just in case.
Well, it wasn't much of a cliffhanger. It was a tease. Okay, it definitely wasn't a cliffhanger.
Okay, that's fair. So they set up a tease at the end of the 8th episode so that everything's still wrapped up. But you get this tease so that if at some point down the road they decide to do a second season, they can. What will be interesting to see is if that happens, how will that be written? Because it won't be based on content that Cy has already written.
But Cy could do either the treatment or the actual scripts.
I need to double check. I'm not sure if he's still alive.
Oh. So while Jeff's checking that, the show was, I lost my train of thought.
All right. So yeah, he won't be involved. I had a feeling I was right.
Because he's dead, or because he
passed away in 2021.
That would make it very difficult to be involved. But at the same time,
some time travel, yes.
Well, there you go. At the same time, though, him not being here makes it easier for them to just sort of do this.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, it wouldn't. If I was buying the rights to a show like this, and I would very much want to make sure that I was also buying the rights to continue the story, if at all possible.
That seems like a prudent business move.
So, with the gentleman being no longer among us, that would be a negotiation with his estate.
With DC Comics, because I believe they hold the licensing.
Or both.
For this.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. No, you're right. If they hold the licensing, then it would just be DC. So I don't know. But they set it up for a season two. They did. I mean, for sure, it's been set up for a season two. And I would watch that.
I would enjoy watching it. Now, just because it's set up, though, doesn't mean we're going to get it.
Right.
The writers and producers of the series, they gave themselves an opening if it could happen at some point in the future. But they're not currently planning on it.
They've said that?
Yes.
Interesting. I like that the Brits in particular seem capable of doing 1, 2, and 3 season arcs and
then just moving on to a new story. Yeah.
I like you. That. You know, in America, especially before the last few years, at the very least, the object was to get to 100 episodes so that you could make money in syndication.
Yeah.
And, you know, the end, that was the goal. That was everything, you know, everything that you're doing is to get another season. And you wanted five seasons because you had 24 episodes in a year. Do you remember that? Those days when you actually got 24 episodes in a season?
Right. Instead of when they would do one season, split it in half and call it two seasons.
Well, it went from 24 down to 22 down to 20. And then they started doing 12 season episodes and then 10 season episodes. I'm sorry. 12. They started doing 12 episode seasons and 10 episode seasons and then 8 episode seasons. And then recently we've seen 6 episode seasons of some shows.
Yeah.
Which kind of stinks. And one of the reasons why they do that is for all the reasons that the writers were on strike, because they wanted to be able to just hire the writers essentially for 2 or 3 weeks to dash out the episodes. And then they get rid of the writers and they don't have to keep paying the writers. And that was one of the things that the writers won in their strike. The contract that they signed gives them protections from those so-called mini rooms. And the point is that we've gone from this idea of looking for this five-season show as the moneymaker to that not being as important. And so, like, shows that can tell a story best in one season, and then for the producers and the actors and the creators to be strong enough in their work to commit to doing just that season and then moving on. I like to see it, which is different than a show being canceled after one season.
Yes, I agree. And okay. So if I were to create a show for Netflix,
say a show about a PI.
You're reading my mind. Okay. So Brian, here's my idea for a show. And what I need to do is find the property to base it on. But here's the idea. So you have this PI, it's in the future.
Yeah.
And AIs have gained sentience.
Oh, I love it.
And so these sentient AIs, they're kind of working with the world government. And it turns out that one of the AIs wants to stop a conspiracy that will lead to the end of all humanity.
Yeah.
And so she ropes in the detective or the PI.
Yeah. 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 I like where this is going.
Okay. Now here's the kicker. They've only got till Saturday to do it.
Good Lord. That sounds like a nail biter.
Right. And I could see doing that as a one season series. And so it would fit up with the book. I've got to find it. You know what would be a really good name for it?
What?
Accidental Intelligence.
That's such a good idea. That's such a good name.
I know.
So
yeah.
What I is like what?
Too ham-fisted?
No, it's just ham-fisted enough.
Okay. Thank you.
What I wanted to do with I would love to make a television series for, I guess we might have even talked about this, for the Dresden Files. And the Dresden Files did have had a 12 episode half season that really had little to do with the books. There was, you know, some connection to the books, but it was very little to do with the books. And what I would like to do with the Dresden Files is make a 3 episode per book series of series.
That would be fun.
And because I feel like each book could be told over 3 episodes, each book could be told in 3 episodes, and there are like 20 books in the series. So obviously you're not going to have a show last for 21 seasons of a regular show, but 21 3 episode seasons, that's possible. And sure. He's still writing books, so, you know, whatever.
Well, Another example of where this model works, The Expanse. One season, one book, and it was an incredibly popular series.
Yeah, it was a great series.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started two dudes who, I'm going to not remember their names. The J.A. Corey. Is that J.S. Corey?
J.A. Corey. J.A. Corey. That's the pen name of the two authors that work together to write the books.
Yeah, and they've just started another space opera.
I am so interested in that.
Yeah, same. I've got books on my TBR list, my to be read list, but I'm going to be checking that out too.
Speaking of books,
yeah.
The bodies had been after it was run, it was compiled together into a single book, so it became like a graphic novel, and that's been out of print. But it's now back in print.
Mm, cool.
So it's like it just happened that it went back into print.
Why don't you include
a link? So I'll include a link to that.
And you can include a link to my book. In my mind.
Why would I not include a link to your book?
Thank you. Thank you. By the way, if you have bought my book, thank you very much. If you would like to leave a review, I would be very happy. And wherever you bought the book, leave a review.
And if you haven't bought the book, people, hop to it. It's only $5, and it's a really good story.
Thanks.
I'm not saying that just because you're my friend. I'm saying it mostly. Because... I'm saying it because you're my friend. No, seriously, it's a really good book.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You have been a terrific source of support. And all I've been is a nuisance.
So we all each have our role to play.
All in is this right dance. In the world.
All right.
And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. I'm at GeekTales everywhere. Jeff's at Jay Gamut. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm Jay Gamut everywhere. Yep.
Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And Jeff, that's it for this week.
Brian, I think it is.
Yeah, that's good.